Please rise. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Our text this morning is the New Testament lesson, the Holy Gospel, as recorded in Luke chapter 10, which I'll read again for our hearing. Luke chapter 10, beginning at verse 38. Now, as they were on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me. But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you're anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. These are the words of our Lord Jesus. Amen. Please be seated. Yes, we are to focus on the one good thing. And Cale, by the way, I'm going to keep your picture. I think that may have been a little bit of a bad joke, and I apologize to you. Because you are a handsome young man, I'll keep the picture in my phone also. You see, dear friends, sometimes in life we say the wrong things at the wrong time, and therefore we have the wrong focus sometimes. You have heard in our text, the five verses of our text, that it's tempting to make comparisons of people, which is what I've done up here with Cale and Taylor. It was a wrong comparison. The idea was right. We are to be focus on that which we said that we would be focused on, but it was a wrong comparison in sense of comparing two people. We see the same thing today in our text. There are two sisters, and we would be tempted to compare them against each other, aren't we? Martha, the busy one, it seems like Martha's doing the right thing. The Lord has been welcomed into her home, and she's being a good hostess. But then there's Mary. You would expect Mary to be helping her sister, but no. Mary decides not to help her sister, and rather to sit at the feet of Jesus and listen to him, listen to his teaching. Yes, I know that there are many sisters here this morning, and I think the worst thing that a person could do is compare one sister to another. That's probably quite disgusting to most people. After all, each sister has their own good traits. Each sister has their own beauty. And to compare them to someone else, especially to their sister, doesn't always work so well. Yet, when we consider our text this morning, we should not be focused on Mary or Martha. We should actually be focused on the one person present there at Bethany that is of greater importance. You see, the Holy Spirit through Luke this morning is teaching us that Jesus comes as our guest and also as our host. It's Jesus who was welcomed into the home of Mary. Jesus is a guest. My dear friends, we have just done the same thing this morning. For in the invocation, we call upon the name of the Lord. We are imploring him, asking him to be present with us, to be our guest. This is not so unusual. We heard it in the Old Testament reading this morning from Genesis chapter 18. Jesus comes to Abraham, and Abraham is a good host. He welcomes the Lord as a host, as a guest. The Lord is also a guest this morning in Bethany. For we know that even though Luke doesn't tell us where they are at, John chapter 12 does. They are in Bethany. And as you have heard today, the Lord is also our guest. And why is that important? Well, Jesus tells us in Revelation chapter 3, Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him, and he with me. You see, Jesus is the guest. He is the friend who comes to you It's Jesus coming to you, not us coming to Him. And He knocks on the door of your heart. Now, I must warn you, dear ones, in Scripture, whenever you hear the word heart, it's not talking about the organ that's pumping in your chest right now. It's talking about something much more important. It's talking about the seat of your essence. It's talking about your soul, your spiritual self. And it's Jesus' desire to be one. His desire is to be one with you, to come in, to enter into you, and you with Him, so that you may fellowship with Him, so that you may eat with Him, so that you may dine on His flesh and drink His blood. And therefore, when we do this, just as Jesus is one with the Father, we are also one with our Lord Jesus and with the Father. The one who hears His voice, the one who will respond, will open the door. Now, this answering of the door by the knocking of Jesus as He is knocking isn't our work. It sounds like it is. It sounds like we're the ones who open the door. But it's not. Because all good work is done by God. And the one who opens your door, the one who makes you receptive to the Word, the one who makes you receptive to Jesus, is the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit who has led each and every one of you here this morning. You heard Him call, and you were drawn here to hear the Word. You were drawn here to sit at Jesus' feet. This is the work of the Holy Spirit. It is He who calls. It is He who convicts. It is He who drives you to your knees and to confess your sins, just as I confessed to Cale a little while ago. It is the Holy Spirit who moves us to do this, because whenever the Holy Spirit is working in our lives, He will always draw us to that which is good, always to the good Savior, always to the good Shepherd, always to the good Word. As Scripture tells us, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That's why you're here this morning. The Holy Spirit has led you here to hear the Word of the Lord and to strengthen your faith, to hear that your sins have been forgiven by what Jesus has done for you. And Jesus has done this good work for each and every one of you at His cross. Yet the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give His life as a ransom for many. It's always nice to think that Jesus is our guest, but in all reality, dear ones, Jesus is your host. It's the same way here in Bethany. It looks like Martha is the host, but Jesus is the real host. After all, He tells us in Luke chapter 22, "For who is the greater, the one who reclines at table or the one who serves? Is it not the one who reclines at table? But I am among you as the one who serves." Yes, Jesus is our servant. He is serving us right now as you are hearing His word. The Lord is the host. We heard in our Old Testament lesson from Genesis 18 that Abraham and Sarah were the host and hostess, but actually it was the Lord. How so? Well, doesn't the Lord make a prophecy? Doesn't He proclaim His word? He says to them, "I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, shall have a son." The Lord has spoken. His word goes forth, and His word serves us. He is the host. He is serving them His word. And even though Sarah laughed, she still had a son named Isaac, which means he laughs. Mary and Martha. Martha was the host, and Mary should have been helping her. But yet, Mary chose the good thing. Really, the host present was Jesus. He was serving them His word. Mary was listening to His words, and He was serving her. Martha also wanted to be present, I'm sure. The text tells us that she was worried and travailing through all of her service. Her heart was there, but her mind was focused on something else. Yes, my friends, it's the same way with all of us. Our heart is here, but for some of you, your mind is somewhere else. I know I was sitting where you sat once, and sometimes I didn't always pay attention. My heart was present, but my mind was somewhere else. Yet Jesus is still your host. Voluntarily, He has laid down His life for you, and He took it up again. Jesus is still your host. He serves you forgiveness of all your sins. Even when our mind wanders away, He knows and He understands the trials and the temptations and the travail that we go through in this life. He knows that our mind is constantly being drawn away from Him. And He has mercy upon us, just as He had mercy upon Martha. You see, the Lord is present. How do we know that He is present? Well, He tells us that He serves us in His word. But most importantly, He is present on that special time when He comes before us and we hear these words. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He broke it and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat, this is My body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of Me." After the same manner also He took the cup, and when He had supped and when He had given thanks, He gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament in My blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of Me." That, dear friends, is a host, and that is service. Jesus is even the host right now. He is even now preparing a great banquet for you and I. The words you've just heard, the words of institution, we know those are the words that we hear just before we commune with Him. But that's only a foretaste of the feast to come. Jesus is present now in heaven, preparing for all of us a great wedding feast of the Lamb. He tells us this in Mark 14, in John 14, and in Revelation 3, Jesus guarantees to us that He will come back and take us to where He is. Same as He says to Sarah, "You will have a son." And He says to all of us, "You will have peace, and you will have redemption, and you will have life eternal with Me." They are true words, and they are words that are true, because they are His words. Dear ones, one thing is necessary. The one thing that is necessary is the Word. The one thing that is necessary, as your children have already told you, quite loudly and quite correctly, Jesus, the body of Christ, His holy church, needs the Word. You need the Word. After all, Paul tells us in the epistle this morning, if indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from hope of the gospel that you heard. When you hear the gospel, you know it's the truth. We should not be shifting away from it. And when we hear the gospel, we know what it does for us. It gives us peace. It gives us the forgiveness of sins. It proclaims unto us life eternal in Christ Jesus. You see, here's the bottom line. Wise people will always listen to their host. And wise people will always partake of what the host is serving them. Solomon writes in the 8th chapter of Proverbs. Hear instruction and be wise, and do not neglect it. Blessed is the one who listens to me. Just as Mary was blessed because she listened to Jesus, you too, as all the Marys here gathered, you are listening to Jesus and you are blessed. Yet there are many Marthas among us. Rather, I should say there are many Marthas not among us. Their focus is on something different today. The Lord have mercy upon them. And we pray that the Holy Spirit will come to them and convict them of their sin and lead them back here to hear wise instruction, to hear that their sins are forgiven. You see, dear ones, listening is service. Mary served by sitting at the feet of Jesus and listening to him. We quite correctly sit here today and listen to Jesus, and that is proper service. Service is a burden, yes, I know. Serving and being a host to someone is quite burdensome at times. Martha focused more on her serving than on her host. We too easily forget to focus on our host. Service is a joy when it is in response to the word. Tell me, please tell me, is there a greater message, is there a greater joy than hearing the words of forgiveness proclaimed to you today, proclaimed in this book? Is there a greater joy than hearing that all of your sins have been forgiven and that you do have life and salvation in Christ Jesus? If there's a greater message, please tell me. I know you can't, because there is not a greater message. Mary later had the joy of anointing her Lord's body before he went to his cross. Martha later had a great joy of faith. The same great joy of faith that you have in his words. And these words, my friends, are so comforting for us. But I know these words will take us to a place that sometimes we don't want to be. But think of these words as great words of joy from your Savior. Later, Jesus said to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She, Martha, said to him, Yes, Lord, I believe that you're the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world. Correct confession. True words. And true words for all of us. For even in death, Jesus proclaims to us life. For that's what he has done for us. In his death, he has defeated death, not for himself. He has defeated death for each and every one of you. So finally, dearly beloved, the Lord wants us to serve him, yes. Yet he wants us to serve in a matter which is of benefit to us. Pray that you may know that as your host through his word and his blessed sacraments, pray that you may know him even better as you partake of his gifts, that he serves you. Pray that you will be forgiven of all of your sins and believe when he announces that your sin is forgiven. Your host is anxious. Just as Martha was anxious, Jesus is anxious to serve you. He's overjoyed to serve you his blessings. He is overjoyed to bless you with peace and with life and with salvation. He is anxious to serve you. He is overjoyed to proclaim to you the forgiveness of all your sins. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Jesus, your divine host. Amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, now and forever. Amen.